Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 4 and verse 13. This is a well-known passage of Scripture. It's a passage of Scripture often used at funerals because it's a passage of Scripture which contains so much hope in it. Verse 13, brothers, and of course sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who were still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Encourage each other with these words. Let me remind you, Paul was writing this letter to the church at Thessalonica. The church had been misled to believe that Jesus Christ was coming soon. And many of them had kind of abandoned their jobs. They were living it up. They were kind of waiting for Jesus to come any moment. And the years were passing by. And what started happening is some of those that thought that Jesus was coming soon before they died, had already died. And the other Christians who were remaining were wondering now, you know, Jesus said he would come in their lifetime, and now some of them have died, so what has happened to them? And so they were asking that question, what was happening to them? On Monday night, Patricia and I went out for a meal with one of the hidden treasure shops. And about halfway through the meal, maybe two-thirds of the way through the meal, we were in a sort of function room. There was a bit of commotion, and one of the people who were in our groups was called to go into the main part of the restaurant. And a little while later, he came back. He was a medical doctor. And somebody in the main restaurant had choked and had died. There were two doctors and a paramedic, and they couldn't revive the man. A little bit later on, they brought the body through the room where we were sitting to take it out to the parlor. But as we were, you can imagine, neither and I, Pete, and hardly anybody who was at the function slept very well on Monday night. But two things struck me about that event. Just how unpredictable death is, friends. Here is a family who had taken a member of their family out, from what we understand, to celebrate a party or a birthday or something like that. And they didn't celebrate, they left mourning and weeping. But you know what else struck me about that occasion? While the family was still mourning, the rest of us were still eating our food. The rest of the restaurant went on as if nothing had happened. Folk, death is real. And this passage gives us a number of lessons what the living can know about those who have died. What can we know about those who have died? Well, let's see what the passage has to say for us. First of all, the first thing we understand, friends, is that grief is part of life. And Monday night was a perfect example of that. In the midst of living, because there were lots of people celebrating, lots of parties happening, lots of things happening, there was a family who had come to celebrate, who were now grieving. At the end of our evening, I was walking past some of them, and you could just see the devastation on their faces. The rest of us continued with our food. Friends, but the passage reminds us that while death is part of life, we don't need to grieve, friends, like everybody else. Because while that man may have passed away then, it's not that he wasn't without hope, friends. For those of us who were Christians there that evening, we could observe it. But friends, we could know that while grief is part of life, it is not that which crushes us. We can still carry on functioning. And Paul makes it so clear. He says, when you grieve, you don't need to grieve like the rest of men. Because, friends, Jesus has conquered death. And the verse carries on in verse 13. The simple reason we don't need to grieve like the rest of men, friends, is that Paul describes death as falling asleep. He says, don't be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep. The concept of sleep is very closely associated to death in the scriptures, particularly in Paul's writings. And there's great encouragement of that, friends, because most of us go to sleep the night before. We don't know what is happening while we're sleeping, and we wake up the next morning refreshed. And friends, death is the same. Death, friends, is entering a state. We don't quite know what happens in that state, but we know that at the end of that state, at the end of that whatever it is that happens at our physical passing, friends, at our end, there is awakening. We don't need to be afraid of what lies in the future. Because, friends, death is simply a type of sleep. You close your eyes this side of eternity and you open them up on the other side of eternity. That's the great joy we have as Christians. Why can we have that joy, friends? We can have that joy, friends, the passage reminds us, simply because Jesus, friends, has conquered death once and for all. Verse 14, Paul writes, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe. Friends, why could the Apostle Paul state that with such confidence? At one point in time in his life, friends, he was killing people. He was murdering people for saying that. He went from town to town to persecute them, to kill them, because there were a group of people who had been followers of Jesus who were saying, Jesus didn't die, he rose again, and then he ascended into heaven. And Paul, as a Jewish scholar, could never believe that. It was not part of his Jewish theology. Friends, and so he went from town to town, ready to wipe out anybody who's, in his opinion, believed that Jesus rose again. Until one day, shabam, Jesus met him personally. Jesus met him face to face, friends. And Paul, when he writes, we believe, friends, it's not a belief that is based on some fictitious imagination. Friends, it's a belief that Paul had, that he believed from personal experience. Jesus had died and rose again because Paul had seen him. Paul and 500 others on one occasion. Paul and 500 others and the 12 apostles. Paul and 500 others and 12 apostles and three women who went to the grave. Paul and 12 apostles and three women and two men that were walking down the road to Emmaus. Friends, the number of witnesses to the fact that Jesus died and rose again is indisputable. Jesus rose, and so we don't need to fear death. Our faith is in something where we can be absolutely confident about. I know I used this little illustration a couple of weeks ago, but it was so profound to me. There's a clip on YouTube about a preacher who asks a young girl, do you believe in God? And she says, no, I don't believe in God. I don't believe he exists. And then he goes on to say to her, now tell me, if you see a building, is there an architect for that building? Is there a builder for that building? And she said, yes. He then asked her, have you ever met that builder? She said, no. He then said to her, have you seen a piece of art? She said, yes. Now, he asked her, do you believe an artist painted that picture or did it just appear there? And then she says, no, there must be an artist. So he asked her, have you ever met that artist? She has to say, no, I haven't. And then he says, what about creation? All that there is around us, friends, surely is evident that there is a God and a creator. So why do you believe there's a builder who built the building and an artist who painted a piece of art, and you don't believe in a God who created things? You've either got to believe nothing created everything or God created everything. Friends, the same is true about Jesus. You've either got to believe Jesus rose from the dead, and the evidence, friends, is overwhelming. No serious scholar today denies that Jesus lived and died and rose again. Friends, what else can we learn from those who have died? What else can we the living learn from them? Not only that grief is part of life, not only that death is not the end, not only that Jesus has conquered death, but number four, friends, we're reminded that Jesus is coming again. He tells us so very clear that, friends, the Lord will come down from heaven and with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with a trumpet call of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. There are lots of people who criticize us Baptists, particularly our charismatic friends. They criticize us Baptists, but they say the Baptists will be the first to go to heaven. When you ask them, why are the Baptists the first to go to heaven? They say, the dead in Christ will rise first. Hopefully that's not the truth for us. Hopefully we're more alive than that, friends. Friend, we can know he's coming again. our final hymn today is a hymn that Lorraine put on a little while ago, which I was reminded of, and we're going to sing that song a little bit later on. Jesus is coming again. Fred, what encouragement. What joy that's going to be. What wonderful anticipation that's going to be. In about 2 weeks' time, our grandchildren are arriving in King Williamstown. You can see what joy that's, anticipation that's building for us. I bought the meat for the braai on Wednesday, and I had great difficulty finding place in my freezer to put that meat, because I have filled it with so many things for my grandchildren when they come. The great anticipation that they are about to come and fill our houses with their presence. Friend, what a difference going to be when Jesus comes. Isn't it? What great joy we can look forward to when Jesus comes. And he's coming again. What a great... It tells us there, with a trumpet call of God, with a voice of the archangel. Who knows what that really sounds like? But I'm sure it's louder than anything you've ever heard. Louder than any Xhosa preacher could ever preach. I'm sorry. Jesus is coming again. The fifth thing we can learn, friends, is that we should use death as an encouragement in our evangelism, to encourage others. The last verse says, encourage each other with these words. Man, when I go into the home of somebody who has died, I don't need to say anything, friends, particularly if they're Christians, because they just know Jesus is coming again. And we don't have to sit there hopeless. We don't have to sit there, yes, heartbroken, yes, disappointed that loved one is no longer going to be part of this living experience. Yes, saddened by the fact we're separated for a period of time, friends. But the message of the gospel, friends, is a great encouragement to us, because we can encourage each other to remind us Jesus is coming again and we will all go to be with him. The verse that says the dead will rise and then we will go with him. The word actually means we're all going to rise at the same time. Together. There's no separation. Every Christian, friends, when Jesus comes, we will rise. Now, many have asked me, what does that mean? Does that mean we lay in the grave until Jesus comes again? No, friends. It means this. The Bible tells us when Jesus was on the cross with the thief that was next to him, and the thief acknowledged him as Lord and Savior, what did Jesus say to the thief? Today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. So the reality is, friends, the moment we die, our resurrection happens immediately. We go to be with Jesus immediately. But for those of us who are still living, we're living in time. There will come a moment in time. Because don't forget, friends, Jesus isn't tied to time. Time, friends, is part of this world. Time and matter are part of this world. But in the world Jesus lives, friends, there's no time. God lives in what theologians call the eternal now. He lives in the past, the present, and the future. So when we die, we go to be with Him. But for those who are still on earth, when the moment arrives for God to say, close the chapter on this world, for those, friends, there will be a rapture. There'll be an awakening. And those that are left behind, because that's what it's all about, friends. It's not about those who've gone to heaven to be with Jesus. It's about those who have been left behind. There are many who are left behind, friends, that don't go to be with Jesus. That's what we need to understand. That's why we can be encouraged. We can be encouraged that we're going to be with Jesus. But the challenge today, friends, is what about those who are potentially being left behind? What has to happen with them? Well, this passage makes it very clear for us what needs to happen with them. The thing that needs to happen for those who are at the moment being left behind is that they need to be in Jesus. Because, friends, on the day of ascension, Jesus went up to heaven. And those that were in Him went up with Him. But if you're not in Christ, you won't be ascended. You'll be left behind. Verse 14 tells us, who's going to heaven? Those who have fallen asleep in Him. Verse 16, Paul writes, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, we who are still behind, friends, we too, who are in Christ, will be with Him. So, friend, what are we doing about it? The first question you need to ask yourself is, am I in Christ? And is Christ in me? That's the most important question you need to ask yourself this morning, friends. If you want to join the rest of us as we are teleported into heaven, you need to be in Christ. And Christ needs to be in you. And if you aren't in Christ, friends, and if Christ is not in you, you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to be left behind. And the challenge for us Christians, friends, is for those we know who are not in Christ, what are we doing about them? Are we telling them about Jesus? Are we telling them that the only way, friend, it's like an elevator. If you want to go to the top of the building, you've got to climb into the elevator. That'll take you to the top of the building. If you're not in the elevator, friends, if you're not in Christ, you're not going to the top of the building. Is Christ in you? And are you in Christ? Lord, thank you for the encouragement we can draw from your word. That those of us who know you need not fear death anyway. Because, Lord, we will be with you, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Thank you for that wonderful promise we have. But, Lord, challenge us again to reach into the lives of people who don't know you. so that they too may be in you and you in them. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.